Live from the studios of KVTA, Ventura County's inspiration station, this is The Kim Pagano Show. Kim is Ventura County's mom and so much more, bringing value every day in every way. Join Kim and her friends every Saturday as they interview interesting and inspirational guests, everyone from authors and entertainers to doctors and experts. From A to Z, Kim's got you covered. And now, here's Ventura County's mom and so much more. It's Kim Pagano.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome. Welcome to the Kim Pagano Show, the brighter side of life, where we bring you brighter side, and we bring you laughter to listen and learn. And, of course, I do want to remind you of our podcast. After you hear it here, download our podcast and take us with you every day. And, of course, our show is all about really uplifting, coming together as a community so that we can give you the best of life that we all want. And as we're approaching the end of the year, I just always start my show with something uplifting. Have you reached your goals? If not, write them down. Dream. Make your goals what you really want and never let go of them. That's really what life's all about. So I have a great show for you today, and I am really excited to be here. I do want to give out our phone number. As always, you are welcome to text me. You can welcome to call us. And our phone number here is 805-419-0008. I always want to say thank you so much to all my sponsors, because I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for them. And so Manhattan of Camarillo is one of them. If you are looking for a great dinner with great entertainment, give them a call, and that's 805-388-5550. Also, Main Street Mortgage, another one that is amazing. If you are looking to just get some money out of your house, refinance, reverse mortgage, any of those, give them a call. And also, even good people get in trouble. And I have Doug Ridley and his team, and definitely give them a call. With that, I do want to remind you, if you're just waking up with us, starting your day in a positive way, you're listening to the Kim Pagano Show. I do want to introduce our first two guests, Arez Mendy and Aaron Foster. And they're really excited to announce that on December 3rd, they're hosting a Liz Resnick Crush Cancer competition. And it's at the CrossFit Santa Barbara. Aaron and Andrew, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Andrew, tell us a little bit about, you know, your beautiful wife. This is in memory of her, and she passed away in March from ovarian cancer. And, of course, this is something that you and Aaron put together to really just, one, have a face to her life, right? Her everything that she did. You said that she was a true warrior. So let's talk about Liz for a second.
So Liz and I were married for 31 years, and she passed on March 17th of this year. And she got diagnosed with ovarian cancer in August of 16, and she went through her first round of chemo. She did 24 chemo injections, and basically it almost put her to the brink, but she went into remission after she finished that. And then in January of 20, the doctors checked her again, and she had cancer, except it was ovarian cancer, except this time it was all throughout her body, inoperable. And we just knew it was a matter of time. And then from the time that Liz got cancer all the way to the time that she passed away, it was 6 years. But she beat the odds because she's such a warrior. It normally has a lifespan of 2 years, and then it usually does what it does. And Liz lasted 6 years because she fought so hard. And she, on top of that, she was a great athlete, and so that's why we call her the warrior, because she was a warrior in sports, and she was a warrior in living life as well.
And I'm so sorry for your loss and your family's loss, but I love what you're doing, and you know, I just, first of all, How did you and Aaron get together to start something like this?
When Liz passed, I wrote down three goals. And one of the goals is to try and start some kind of philanthropy in my wife's name.
And your wife had already done that, right? I mean, she was a huge contributor.
Yeah.
Yes.
For 20 years, we were involved in philanthropy. As a matter of fact, my wife actually is one of the founders of Ladies Night Out for a cancer support community of Pasadena. And she was a huge supporter of them. And this is before she even had cancer, years before. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And she's done several other Make-A-Wish and Hillsides, and it goes on and on. So we were really involved with philanthropy in the first place. So when Liz passed, I wrote down three objectives. The first one was to keep her name in perpetuity. I didn't want her name to fade out on her death. I believe that she's the kind of person that should have their name live on. And so I'm going to do whatever I can to raise money on a regular basis for her. And then the second thing I wanted to do is I just try and keep up with her because she was such a great athlete. I had worked out my whole life, but I wanted to do something challenging and different. So I signed up at CrossFit Santa Barbara, and let me tell you, it was challenging and it's different and it's not easy, but it is, not for the faint of heart, but if you do it, you're going to get in incredible shape. And then the third thing was just redirect my career and just do something in the same realm of what I was doing, except somewhere different, just so I can start that new chapter. So coincidentally, Erin knew my goals and she knew what I wanted to achieve. And so we were working towards that, and we had found an event on December 3rd called Battle Cancer. And it was supposed to be in Los Angeles, and we were going to have our team, and we were set to go. And then for some reason, it was canceled. And Aaron, about a week later, said, well, why don't we just do our own?
Hmm.
Okay. It's the warrior spirit, you know what I mean? That same never quit.
I love that. Andrew, I want to ask you a question because I just think, you know, how do you, for our listeners, how do you pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and keep going on? How did you come up with those three goals that are life-changing when your life changed?
I came up with them because I knew if I didn't set a goal, mm-hmm. I would wander aimlessly. And you have to have goals, always.
I love that.
I thought hard about them. And to be honest with you, my wife was tough as nails. And she would have been the person to say, get off your butt and go do something. So I knew I needed to do something different. I needed to do something challenging. And I knew if I didn't do it, you can find that hole and sit there and wallow in pity. And I just am not going to do that. I want to live life to its fullest still.
I love that. So let's talk about this for a second. Liz and obviously you were married for 31 years, and then towards the end, you actually took care of her, right? She wanted to come home.
So the last year, that's one of the reasons we moved to Santa Barbara. We moved in July of 2020 up here, and the reason that we moved over here is that it felt like a sanctuary city for Liz. It felt she felt peace. She felt calm. We're over by the Butterfly Preserve up in here, and she just wanted to experience nature as much as possible. And so that's how we ended up in Santa Barbara. And then as she got sicker, we were flying to Stanford Medical. We were going to UCLA Medical. We were going to Anderson in Houston. We did everything that we could. She was on trial drugs, two different trial drugs at UCLA. And then it was all to no avail. And then she went back to the traditional route of chemo. And And I got a real interesting story for you about Liz and her chemo, if you want to hear it.
Absolutely.
So if when you'll see the logo for our sign for our t-shirts for this event, you'll see a pair of boxing gloves.
And Liz, I was just
Liz used to bring boxing gloves into her chemo session, and she would put them over by her side, and then she got a bunch of just of those little toy soldiers, those rubber soldiers, and she would surround them all around her chemo table, and then she would walk around to everybody else inside the chemo room and actually put soldiers there for them, and she would tell them that they're there to go fight cancer. And it was really an amazing thing.
Oh, that gives me chills. Wow.
It was great. Yeah, people were going back to UCLA asking for her, where's the lady with the boxing gloves and where's the lady with the soldiers? Because she inspired so many people.
I'm sure she did. Wow. That's beautiful.
Right.
That's beautiful. So here we are today. And Aaron, did you have the luxury of to know Liz?
I did not ever have the opportunity to meet Liz, unfortunately. I met Andrew. He was coming to check out the CrossFit gym to see if it was a good fit for him, because he had this mission of starting CrossFit, doing something really challenging, and then this ultimate goal of competing in a CrossFit competition in Liz's honor. So I met Andrew this summer when he had decided to start up his CrossFit journey.
Mm-hmm. Erin, it sounds like you're kind of a therapist also. Is that true?
Yeah. So I'm a physical therapist.
Uh-huh.
But
like mental also?
I mean, I don't have any specific training in that. But I mean, I do have the opportunity both with physical therapy and personal training in CrossFit. I get to know my clients really well because we spend so much time together. So
right.
Definitely not trained, but we do build a little bit of a bond.
Yeah, I was going to say, because I was a hair therapist forever, and people used to be like, what do you mean? Well, I made their hair look really good, but I also made them feel really good. So,
yeah.
And so I think you kind of have a little bit of that too. So, I mean, this is just an amazing event that's going to happen here, and I want as many people to be involved in this. And of course, the whole thing is to battle cancer competition. So, what is that day going to look like? And first of all, again, how do our listeners sign up and how do they share this with everyone?
Yeah. So we decided when the Battle Cancer competition in LA was canceled, a couple of us coaches here at CrossFit Santa Barbara decided that we had to do something so that Andrew could kind of continue on and fulfill this mission. He'd been working so hard that we really wanted him to be able to show off all of the hard work that he's put into CrossFit, but then also be able to honor Liz. So we decided that we would throw a competition here at our gym. It's basically three different events. Experience in CrossFit is recommended, but definitely not required. And we have different ways to scale all of the workouts. So different weights, different movements. With my background in physical therapy, we make sure that we kind of meet everybody at the level that's appropriate for them, but still challenging because we want this to be a competition where you push yourself. So three different events. All of the workouts are posted already on our website, which is CrossFitSantaBarbara.com, or our Instagram. So if you're interested, you can check that out. There's a sign-up page also on our website. And then if you would rather not participate, but you want to donate to Liz's cause, then we also have a place where you can donate as well.
And Andrew, back to you. That's beautiful. Is my question to you is that when you say to Liz's cause, it's really to help the world, correct?
Yeah, I particularly became way too familiar with ovarian cancer, and I do know that it is It is. When women get ovarian cancer, it is usually deadly, and the numbers are not in your favor. And the reason is that by the time they detect ovarian cancer in such a large area, it's too late. And eventually what I'd like to do is try and see if we can get some kind of preventative care with regards to that. So as an example, Liz felt bloated, but she was still in great shape. But she told her doctor, and the doctor said, let's just run an x-ray. And they ran an x-ray, and so she saw what she had seen was actually a cyst. And so and my wife at that time was 53. She had already gone through menopause. So she just said, why don't you just get a hysterectomy? Let's remove the cyst and get that out of there. And then what happened was the doctor opened her up, and she was already at stage 3C. And it was all over her, and they were able to get it. But I just wonder how many women could actually be saved if we just maybe if they do a mammogram, let's just do an X-ray of that same area, the area where it could start.
Right, ovarian starts.
Exactly. And let's see if we can do something about it. Or let's at least see if we can prevent it. I mean, for God's sakes, if we can prevent 20% of women getting it.
Exactly. Gosh. Andrew, Aaron, this is, I really want to follow you guys and help you and support you. And of course, thank you to Monica from Cancer Society, Westlake and Santa Barbara and all that. I am their media sponsor, and I love to really have a voice in our community. How do our listeners find out more and help you really just share this great cause? And Aaron, thank you for opening up your place. Thank you again. How do we share this?
Of course. Yeah. So all of our information is on our website. So CrossFitSantaBarbara.com. We have an events page. So the Liz Rusnak Arizmendi's Crush Cancer Competition is kind of front and center on our events page. And there's a link to sign up. There's all of the workout information. And then there's also a link if you just would like to donate to the cancer support community.
I love it. This will be in my newsletter, too. Excuse me?
And cancer support community of Santa Barbara and cancer support community of Pasadena both have it on their web pages as well. And their Instagram pages, because we're working with both of the CSCs to help get this going.
There you go. Well, please keep in touch with me, and thank you so much for what you're doing. And again, I'm sorry for your loss, but at least you're making Liz is just helping so many people to really be awareness for ovarian cancer. So thank you, both of you. Please share our show with everyone, and we're going to get this message out there.
Thanks a lot, Kim.
Thank you, Kim.
You got it. Keep up the great work. All right.
Cheers.
We are going to take a really quick break. You're listening to The Kim Pagano Show. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Even good people can end up under investigation or facing a criminal charge. Ridley Defense can help start getting your life back on track. Bringing on a premier criminal defense team like Ridley Defense as early as possible gives you the greatest potential for a favorable outcome. Learn how Ridley Defense can help. Call 805-208-1866 for a complimentary consultation about your case. Ridley Defense provides the very best criminal defense representation you'll find in Ventura, Santa Barbara, and Los Angeles. They are dedicated to devoting their entire resources to defending you. For more information, visit RidleyDefense.com. That's RidleyDefense.com. Ridley Defense can help heal you and your family during the criminal justice process. Ridley Defense handles everything from DUI to the most serious crimes, including major felonies and appeals. Get a premier criminal defense team on your side. Visit RidleyDefense.com. That's RidleyDefense.com. Or call 805-208-1866 today.
Manhattan of Camarillo, located in the heart of the beautiful Santa Rosa Valley, is a locally owned, multi-regional classic Italian restaurant with an extensive wine list. You'll be greeted with warm, friendly, attentive service. Wednesday evenings from 3 to 8 p.m., Manhattan of Camarillo offers a signature three-course menu for $25. For a bit more casual atmosphere, check out Trivia Thursdays in their beer garden with a full bar and craft beer selections. If you're into live music, come see some of Ventura County's premier local talent where you can dance the night away on a large dance floor. Manhattan of Camarillo's private wine and banquet room holds up to 40 people. Make your reservations today or book your next private party. Dinner is served Tuesday through Saturday with easy access off the 101 at Pleasant Valley Road.
Call today for a reservation at 805-388-5550.
That's 805-388-5550. Or go to themanhattanofcamarillo.com.
Main Street Mortgage guides and educates clients based on three fundamental principles coined by America's homeownership coach, John W. Mallett, which form the basis of their unique approach to building wealth and well-being through homeownership. When followed, these principles result in their clients' successful purchase of their home and lay a strong foundation for sustained homeownership. Main Street Mortgage's mission, purpose, and goals are to provide you with the tools to finance and purchase your dream home. Come one step closer to homeownership by contacting Gina at 818-874-9900. That's 818-874-9900. Don't put your dreams on hold any longer. Call today.
Are you ready to empower your child with the skills they need to safely enjoy the water? Kim O'Brien with Survival Swim with Kim, Infant Aquatics, teaches self-rescue swim skills to children of all ages. Self-rescue skills can save a child's life if they accidentally fall into the water. After losing her daughter to drowning, Kim became a certified survival swim instructor to help families in Ventura County protect their children. Survival Swim with Kim teaches kids 6 months and up how to roll and float independently. Don't wait. Check out survivalswimwithkim.com. That's survivalswimwithkim.com or call Kim at 805-620-7177. That's 805-620-7177.
If you're a business owner or looking to be one, put Littlefoot Construction on the top of your list. Littlefoot Construction specializes in restaurant remodels, tenant improvements, office remodels. Call Littlefoot Construction with all your commercial and industrial needs. Littlefoot Construction works with big or small businesses, or even if it's a dream, Littlefoot Construction will make your vision come true. Call Littlefoot Construction at 805-491-2759. That's 805-491-2759 for all your construction needs.
Now back to the Kim Pagano Show.
Finally on KVTA.
Welcome back, everyone. And again, thank you so much for being here. I do want to introduce our next guest, and that is Janine Thompson. And she is a transformational coach, speaker, author, whose breadth of knowledge and experience spans multiple disciplines and professional expressions from clinical psychotherapy to global business. To advancing spiritual growth. And at the core of her diverse career is a passionate dedication to helping individuals live their highest potential. And also, she shares her journey and how others can discern their truths and live a higher potential in her first book, 911 From Your Soul. I love it. Janine, welcome, and thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Kim. I am absolutely delighted to be with you and your listeners.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about yourself. I know I kind of, you know, I want to say spilled the beans, but shared a little bit. But I know that there's more from this because I love that. You know, so many of us are pleasers, and we aren't always pleasing ourselves. And so where'd you get the name from, 911 From Your Soul?
Yeah, 911 From Your Soul was a phrase I coined myself during a time in my life when the details from the outside looked great. I had a wonderful family, the big job, travel, the accoutrements of success. And despite all of that, I kept hearing this inner whisper, there has to be something more for you. There is something more for you. And that led me on a search, which I believe many of your listeners are probably on themselves right now. Search for what's missing.
Janine, I think there's so so many people. I think that you get to, there's so many chapters to our life. So, yes. You know, I mean, I think when I was raising my children and trying to get my career together, that was one chapter. And then all of a sudden, you know, they start to be on your own and it's like, now it's my turn. What for me? And is that yes. kind of how it felt for you?
It did indeed. You know, I was in the middle of my Fortune 50 international executive job, and frankly, I loved it. And yet, my soul knew that an even greater possibility wanted to be birthed through me. And that's true for every single listener. There will be times in our life where this inner intelligence says, hey, there's another level of growth. Another level of love, of freedom, of joy, of fulfillment that's available to you and also through you to impact the world.
I like that, to you and through you. Yes, because I really believe that we all bring our own gifts to this world. And as we learn, we actually grow. And yes. So how do we find that?
Well, one of the key ways we find it, Kim, is we need to shift our attention from our busy brain. You know, we have 70,000 thoughts a day, and many of us, myself included previously, we just kind of function. We roll from one demand to the next with the highest intention. But when we stay in our brain, we lose connection with the most vital source of who we are. In our heart's intelligence, also our sacral area, think around your belly button. That's where when we soften our busy mind and shift our awareness into the core of our being, and maybe even just breathe for a couple of minutes at a time. I tell my listeners 30 seconds to 2 minutes at a time. We start to create space for this expanded wisdom, a deeper truth. Bubble up.
Okay. And let me ask you, who was your mentor? How did you learn this?
Oh my gosh. I owe tribute to many, many teachers along the way. Marcy Steinhoff was a big teacher for me. Brandon Burchard. I've worked with, you know, traditional teachers through education and the High Performance Institute. I'm a certified high performance coach. But I've also worked with shamans and healers and visited sacred sites, done a lot of exploring of non-traditional texts. And all of them kept bringing me back to my inner genius, what I call soul. And if that word doesn't resonate for your listeners, maybe entelechy does. You know, Aristotle said, entelechy was a seed of potential to be realized. So an acorn seed is to be realized to an oak tree, a caterpillar to a butterfly. Well, you too have your own unique seed of potential that is yearning to be realized.
Wow, beautiful. Let me ask you, when you found yourself, your soul, did it change your world?
Oh, it changes everything. You know, when I grew up in religion, I believe the power was outside, up there, out there, you know?
Right.
And when you go through this experience, I teach people how to connect with that part of themselves they've lost sight of. It changes who you know yourself to be. I rediscovered I was a soul traversing in a wondersuit of a body. And it evolves what you see as you move through the world. It evolves how you talk to yourself, how you meet other people. And you get crystal clear on what actually matters to you in life. You know, so often we know what matters, but we actually live on this hamster wheel of demands, and we get disconnected.
Wow, that's beautiful. Because it's almost like I think of us as this huge ball rolling down this mountain. We pick up the few things here, we pick up a few things here, and then all of a sudden we don't even remember who we are, correct?
Oh, I think that is beautiful. You just nailed it, you know?
I could just, it's so funny that this came to me thinking like, right? And,
you got it.
How do you kind of like, I love this 911 from your soul. How do you dial that number to figure out who you really are and what's really going on?
Well, the number dials you. And so what happens is when our soul knows we're ready for another level of growth, things start to happen in your life. Maybe you start to feel this restlessness and yearning that something's missing. Maybe you're feeling an urgency that time's clipping by and your life isn't quite all you thought it would be. Maybe your relationship, your career, your health is being challenged or tipped upside down in some way. Typically what happens is there is an upset in our life and our familiar solutions, all of our go-to strategies that used to work before, they don't work anymore. And that's by intelligent design. We must move from the counsel of our friends or experts or stuff or status inward to our heart, inward to our belly, where the truth of what you're seeking can be revealed.
Did you just say human design?
I'm not sure what I said, to be honest with you. I said, I know that we typically
there is a human design. There is a human design, and sometimes we lose that. We have the knowledge of what our human design really is, then we can seek for our soul, correct? And basically feed our soul.
Yeah, and for me, Kim, it's almost the opposite. We do have a human personality, ego. I know that there's actual human design system that can teach us about our human nature. But what I'm inviting people to is the beauty of the and. Let's start first by turning inward and creating space, whether we do that in nature and we get lost in a gorgeous sunset, or, you know, in the ocean or in the sky gazing or through our breath or a freeing run or dance or music, when we soften the busy mind of those 70,000 thoughts a day in our brain, we can drop into the core of our being, which is where access to all intelligence resides. Once we understand where we're being guided to, where life is asking to move us next, then we can go back and say, okay, I'm also a human traversing in Earth school. How do I use some of these human traits to live the best of my life? But I think the gold and the true wisdom starts internal.
Within.
Yeah.
You know, Janine, I always say, close your eyes and look inside, and everything's in there, all of our answers, correct?
They are, and so much more. It is beyond our human comprehension. And for those of your listeners who say, oh my gosh, I am so busy, I don't have time to be still, I've got a million things to do, I actually understand that. I used to be in a plane 200,000 to 300,000 miles a year as an executive. I was a single mom. But I actually had to learn how to change my story. My narrative was stillness and doing nothing was unproductive. My narrative was I didn't have time. But we all have time. And actually, by going inward, we actually save time and we create time. So we have to change our narrative and actually set up practices. Like, I don't get out of bed in the morning.
Right.
Without first.
Janine, how do we find your book so all our listeners can get this book?
Yes. You can find the book on Amazon worldwide, Amazon and Barnes & Noble in the U.S. Or if you have a local bookstore you love to support, go in. It's on the Ingram catalog. They can order it from you. It's called 911 From Your Soul. And it will empower you It provides a daily blueprint for you to move through life as the highest and best expression of who you truly are. You can also find me at my website, JeanineThompson.net. And if you caught this episode today, reach out to me. Leave me a note on the contact form, and I'd love to hear how this touched you or what questions you have. I'd love to connect.
Okay. Give us one tip that we can, as we're ending this year, starting next year, and we're kind of like on the fence, what is my next, you know, where am I going? How do they find that?
Yeah. So I would encourage people to literally close your eyes, place one hand on your heart, one hand on your belly, dance with the rhythm of your natural breath, and literally imagine you can ask your heart, which is the it's the lead singer for your soul, mouthpiece of the soul. And just
I love that, the lead singer for your soul. That's beautiful.
Ask the question, how would life like to move through me?
Wow, that's so soothing. And you have such a soothing voice.
Thank you. And I tell you what, breathe with that question. And if you don't get an answer right away, that's okay. And if your busy brain pops in and says, oh my gosh, I got to pick up this at the store, I got to do this, I got to do this, just say, noted, retouch your hand on your heart and your belly and say, how would I like to move through life? Mm. And just ask some questions of your heart. You might even put them, write those two questions down on a notepad, put it by your bed, and simply close that breathing session by saying, I'm listening, I'm open. And I promise you, the intelligence of life will speak to you. Maybe you'll hear the answer when you're at the grocery store. It just kind of drops in.
Maybe I love that.
A friend speak of something, or a quote you read, or a song on the radio, and you're like, that's it. Or inspired creativity drops in. Commune with the intelligence of your heart. Maybe even see a 10-year older version of yourself and say, oh, wisest dear one, what is my next right now?
Wow, beautiful. Very beautiful. Well, Jeanine, please download our podcast and share our show with everyone. And of course, we're talking with Jeanine Thompson.
I love your energy and what you bring to the world. So thank you for giving me the opportunity to share this love with your audience.
And one last question. How long did it take you to write your first book?
You know, I wrote it in the forest. People will see that in the on my website. There's pictures of where I write. I started it a couple of years ago, but it was kind of on and off during COVID. And then it just kind of all dropped in rather quickly. I listened deeply to wisdom within, around, and beyond me, and just channeled the wisdom that I was asked to share with the world at this time.
Wow, so beautiful. Well, I look forward to reading it. And again, thank you so much for sharing you here on my show. Thank you again.
Thank you. It's a great
all
pleasure.
Right. Take care.
Bye-bye.
All right, we are going to move right into our next guest, and I have Tracy Saccombe. This question for all of you, what if you could create a life you love? I think we're on the same line here, and Tracy is going to talk to us a little bit more about that. Tracy, are you there?
I am. Hi, Kim. How are you going?
I'm good, thank you, and thank you so much for joining us today. Tell us a little bit about yourself and who you are.
Well, I live in Adelaide, South Australia, and I'm married with three children, and I'm a self-worth coach and the author of From People Pleaser to Soul Pleaser.
I love it, People Pleaser to Soul Pleaser. We were just talking to another coach, and I think all my shows kind of run together with things that it's really what I believe. And so you're going to give us six steps to being who you were meant to be, right? Talk to us a little bit about yourself and who you are.
So I grew up as, I guess, a good girl. My mum was a real people pleaser. She was a registered nurse, and we lived in a small community. So she had a real sense of community, but equally she felt like she really needed to make sure that she was liked by everybody and helped everybody. And I think that that's a wonderful trait to have, but she left herself out of the equation, and it really was a detriment to her well-being. And so I modelled that and grew up really striving to be like that myself, and ended up very burnt out in my 40s. And that's when it occurred to me that I was such a people pleaser that it was really exhausting me, because I didn't make any time for myself. I put everybody else first.
And is that meaning like your family or your friends or your community? This really relates to me, because I think my mom, I lost my mom too, and I'm sorry for your loss. She was a people pleaser. And I remember her saying, "I'm so sorry." And I'm like, "Sorry for what, Mom? You didn't do it. It was life, you know," or it was, you know, and she was so polite and such a big heart, and just took care of everybody but herself. And I think you're right.
Yeah.
I did follow in that trait, because we learn from what we see as an example.
Yeah, we really model the behavior of our parents. So I always say to parents when they're, you know, worried about how to bring up their kids, I'm just like, work on yourself, because your kids don't do what you say, they do what you do. We really do model and pick up those behaviors. And I think that we have great intentions to please others, and I think that that in itself is a really good intention. But I think the important part is why you do it. And if you do it because you need that validation from somebody else to feel good about yourself, then it becomes a need to please rather than just a desire to please. And I think that small distinction makes all the difference in terms of whether you can do it and still be happy yourself, or whether you sacrifice your own happiness for the sake of other people's.
I love that. And so your book, People Pleaser to Soul Pleaser, is this your first book?
It is my first book. Yeah, I just published
it in
July this year. Thank you.
So you talk about six steps to being who you are meant to be and how to discover it. How can you help our listeners, without sacrificing their own well-being, to still be a nice person, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's one of the big questions that people ask when they consider this is, would it be selfish to give up people-pleasing? And I've actually found that the opposite is true, because the underlying reason for people-pleasing is that you want something back in return. You know, you either want people to like you or appreciate you or validate you in some way. And so it's kind of a neediness that feels a little bit awkward energetically. Whereas when you have that complete belief in yourself and you know who you are and you realize that the purpose of joy and of life is joy and to find what you want, then you can be yourself. And I think people-pleasing can really get in the way of you being yourself. And so you still please people, but you really please them because you pleased yourself. You know, I think that a naturally happy person is just a joy to be around, where somebody who is doing everything for everybody all the time can be so exhausted and worn out that they're trying so hard to please, but you can tell that it's not a good place for them. And so it's definitely not selfish. And I think that that's the biggest belief that we have to let go of, is that we can be of more service to others if we look after ourselves first and then help the people around us.
I love that. And let me ask you, what you really love and what you really want in your life, and find confidence in pursuing it. How do you do that?
Yeah, well, I think that when we people please, particularly when we're parents, for example, or we have a business where we're caring for people, or a vocation like nursing, we're really worried about what other people want. So we're helping them get what they want. And so when we do that for a long time, sometimes we actually don't know what we want. And it takes a little bit of reassessment of our lives to ask ourselves, what do I really want? What lights me up? You know, when is the last time I got really excited? What am I naturally good at? You know, what do I do that just feels joyful? Because sometimes we're doing things for achievement, for feedback, and for all of these other reasons other than just because we love it. And so that's the first step, is to really honestly find out. And sometimes you have to try a few things out to see what it is that you love. And then to be able to confidently do it, I think that sometimes we don't think we deserve it. And we have to believe that it is our right to do what we love, and we all deserve to do what we love. And in fact, we actually help people more when we're doing it because we love it, rather than when we're doing it with some other motive behind it. And so that confidence comes from believing in yourself, believing that you have the right to do it, that you deserve to do it, and that you're capable of doing it. I really believe that we receive our desires. So if we desire something, we can have it just because we desire it.
I love that. You know, it's funny, you hear people say, I don't know what I want, but I know what I don't want. And it's this is really going to help people really learn what they really want and what they love, and being happy with it. Because there's a lot of people that are really not happy inside. They're just living life like one moment after another, but not really living it deeply, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that knowing what you don't want is a really good clue. When I say to people, okay, good, that's a good start. So what is the opposite of that? If you're clear on what you don't want, you know, for example, if somebody is single and they don't like being single, then you know that what you do
they
want
really
is a relationship.
They really want to be in a relationship. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, and that's a really good way to look at it. I love it. That's a great thing. Yeah, Tracy, I love what you've done. Where do our listeners find your book?
You can find it on my website, which is my name, tracyseacombe.com, or you can find it on Amazon.
And let's pronounce your last name.
Seacombe, Tracy Seacombe.
And it's S-E-C-O-M-B-E, correct?
Correct, yes.
Great. And thank you so much. Let's connect on social. I'd love to learn more about you. And please share our show with everyone.
You.
Download our podcast, of course, so that you can share our show with everyone.
I will, definitely. Thank you, Kim.
All right. Thank you. Take care. We have one more interview. This is for caregivers. November is Appreciation Month, highlighting resources with Parkinson's Foundation. We are going to talk with John Lear and Vera Rastogi. Let's hear what they have to say.
Thank you so much for joining us here on the Kim Pagano Show. Tell us a little bit about, it's an important time to honor the contributors of people who care for someone. And that's such a hard job, because sometimes you forget about those people and it's all concentrated on the people that need the care. But, you know, it's almost like a pot that, you know, needs some extra care. So I'm glad that we're doing this. John, why is it important to recognize caregivers?
Yeah, so during November, we take some time out to recognize the more than 65 million Americans who are caring for somebody who's either aging or living with a chronic condition like Parkinson's disease. In the case of Parkinson's, it's a really complicated disease where people will steadily lose function over time. These are people mostly in later stages of their life, 60s, 70s, and 80s. So often a family member, a spouse, a child, or someone else in the family or a friend or a neighbor is the one that's going to help those people living with the disease as they steadily lose function. And it's really an important time to just, first of all, acknowledge them, thank them, and also make sure that they know about the resources that are available to them as they, you know, as they begin their care partner journey and go through it. So it's an important month for us because people with Parkinson's really often need a lot of help.
I love that. And of course, Thanksgiving and, you know, being grateful for the people in our lives. Vera, what are the challenges of being a caregiver for someone with Parkinson's?
Yeah, there's a couple I would call out. The first one is Parkinson's is a progressive disease. It gets worse over time. And so your loved one that you're caring for they start losing bits of their functioning, whether physically and or mentally over time. And to watch that, which I did in the case of both of my parents, actually, is really, really difficult. So I think, you know, you need to learn as much as you can about the disease so that you can support them. And you also need to have a support system of your own, because it's tough to cope with that as a caregiver. So that's the first thing I'd say. The second thing is what we talk about a lot, right, which is self-care. I mean, you need to really look out for yourself and your own mental, emotional, physical well-being so that you can stay strong and lead your own life in a fulfilling way. And that enables you to be a better caregiver through the long caregiving journey that can go with supporting a Parkinson's patient.
Right. And Vera, were you a caregiver for both your parents?
I was, yeah. I mean, I didn't do it alone, but you know, for 17 years
right.
with my mom and 5 years with my mom, yeah, along with my brother. And eventually, you know, we hired additional people because it became a 24/7 proposition for my mom. Yeah.
Wow. And is that common for both parents to have that?
I mean, I'll let John chime in here as well, but no, it's definitely
yeah, not. John, okay. Wow, yeah, no. I'm so sorry to hear that. That was a hard road.
Thank you.
It's very, very rare. I mean, you know, so Parkinson's is, you know, it's a disease where the causes of it are not well known. It's generally speaking a disease of aging. It's the number one risk factor. People tend to lose dopamine neurons over time. There is a genetic cause to it for about 10 to 15% of people who will have a genetic mutation that leads to a Parkinson's diagnosis. There are some environmental triggers out there as well. But to have a mom and a dad who have Parkinson's is just really unusual. I know the former chairman of our board had parents who both had Parkinson's, and it's just, I think it could be a coincidence. It could also be because they were exposed to something during their lives. But we don't know for sure. And it's very unusual.
Yeah. Wow. That's crazy. and I'm so sorry that you had to go through that, Vera. John, how does the Parkinson's Foundation help caregivers?
Yeah, so we have a lot of resources available for caregivers. They can be accessed primarily through our website, which is parkinson.org/caregiving. That's parkinson.org/caregiving. We have webinars and guidebooks like our Caring and Coping guidebook, which has been so helpful to so many people. We have a course on how to become to improve your skills of being a caregiver, which is free and available online. We also host events around the country for caregivers in particular, and those can also be found online. Lastly, we have a helpline that's open during business hours in the United States, and it's free. It's 1-800-4-PD-INFO. That's 800-4, the number 4, PD-INFO. It's staffed by clinicians across different disciplines, and they're experts in Parkinson's and also directing people to resources that are most helpful to them.
Right. And John, really quick, what are some of the symptoms like that people should be looking for the first challenges of Parkinson's?
Yeah. So as I mentioned earlier, Parkinson's is primarily a disease of people later in life, in their 60s, 70s, and 80s, but it can affect about 5% of people who are younger than 50. What you'll notice probably initially is a resting tremor. Your hand may start shaking, or your foot or your leg. You may lose a sense of smell. Those symptoms can come on very slowly. And it doesn't mean if you have a resting tremor that you have Parkinson's necessarily, because there is another disease where you just have a resting tremor. If you do have one of those signs or symptoms, we strongly encourage you to go see a neurologist who can really diagnose you and then get you on a good treatment regimen.
Wow. And Vera, thank you so much for being here and sharing yours. What would you tell other caregivers that are dealing with many challenges through Parkinson's?
Yeah, I think the most important thing is you're not alone. And you know, I found a lot of help and information and support through the Parkinson's Foundation, including a really robust community of caregivers. And so even though everybody's Parkinson's journey is different, you know, tapping into other caregivers, you can really share experiences and get tips on how they're dealing with things, coping with things, And chances are somebody else is going through at least part of what you're going through. So that's really important. Use the resources that John has been going through. They helped me and my brother a lot, whether just information or how to get help in your community. And also rely on your own community, your family, your friends, you know, relatives to help bring you food or let you go to the gym or, you know, whatever it is, because you can't get through everything alone. It can be really challenging, and don't be afraid to ask for help.
Wow, that is just amazing. And again, I just want to say that each year more than 60,000 people are newly diagnosed with Parkinson's, but what we're doing here today is really making life better for people with Parkinson's disease and the people who care for them. And so I thank both of you again for sharing here on the Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life. John, one more time, can you give out the website, please?
Sure. It's parkinson.org/caregiving or just parkinson.org for all general information related to the foundation.
There you go. Thank you again. And please also download our podcast to share our show with everyone. And I thank you for being who you are and sharing. And that's what it's all about. Many hands make little work. And that's what my show is all about. So thank you again.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Again, thank you so much for joining us here on the Kim Pagano Show. I end all of my shows with a moment of happiness. Success is not final. Failure is not fatal. It is the courage to continue that counts. With that, have a great rest of your weekend. And I'll talk to you next week. It's a beautiful morning.